Following this week's preliminary election in Boston, Boston City Councilor Tito Jackson is the challenger, looking to unseat incumbent Boston Mayor Marty Walsh. WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks this morning has this personal profile of the first African-American mayoral finalist in Boston in 34 years.
On a blustery morning, Tito Jackson stands on the corner of Center Street and Columbus Ave in Roxbury, greeting passers-by and calling out to commuters and school bus drivers.
Good morning. Have a good day.
At 6'2" and 200-plus pounds and a ready smile, Jackson still cuts the figure of the high school football player he once was. But the city councilor is running hard not to win football games, but to bring change to the city of Boston, to make it work for all of its residents.
I want people to be able to still live in this neighborhood, not get pushed out of the neighborhood and community that they built up, that they made safe.
Back in 1991, when Jackson was 15, there were 151 murders in Boston, many of them in this part of the city where he grew up. But the community came together with clergy, city hall, and police, and now Roxbury is a very different place.
$200 increases in rent, good to see you, are pushing people out. There are developers who are buying whole buildings and emptying them out and not realizing those are people. Those are families. Same thing in South Boston. Same thing in East Boston. They're getting pushed out, too. Good to see you.
Jackson complains about a city with a booming economy and enormous wealth, with the widest wealth gap in the nation and dramatic racial disparities. Jackson inherited his progressive politics from his parents. His dad, Herb Jackson, was a community activist who sponsored registration drives to help elect candidates of color in Boston and pressured city construction companies to hire local and minority workers. Tito Jackson describes his dad as a major force in his life.
When you're a young person, you always think, no, I'm not going to be just like my dad. You know what? I am my dad. He fought every single day for the uplift of everybody in Boston. What he instilled, and my mom instilled, is that we're not doing great as a city if we leave significant portions of people behind.
Herb Jackson died in 2002, but Jackson's mother, Rosa, is still a big presence in his life.
When he was young, I have to tell you this story.
Rosa Jackson lives in Florida, but is back in Boston helping with her son's campaign. Rosa and Herb Jackson had 8 kids, 4 of them adopted, including Tito. Rosa Jackson recalls urging her young son to talk about that fact for a school project.
So we put together a little book for him with pictures of different ages, and I helped him present it. All the kids in the class were so excited. Tito was adopted? I want to be adopted too, because we told them that Tito was special. He was chosen to be in the Jackson family.
So Jackson grew up knowing he was adopted, but not until he was a young man did he learn of the difficult circumstances that led to his birth.
My biological mother was 13 years old, and she was assaulted by 2 guys. And that's how I got here.
So this 13-year-old girl, your birth mother, what do you think about her?
I want to meet her someday, and I just want to say thank you. One of the most important parts about the work that I do is redefining manhood. That is anti-sexual violence. That says we can love each other.
Jackson learned about his birth mother when he was in college, which he says provided a pivotal opportunity. He'd hoped to go to Morehouse, the historically black college in Atlanta, but didn't get enough financial aid. So he ended up at the overwhelmingly white University of New Hampshire, and recalls his first day on campus this way.
We all went to where all of the freshmen were meeting. And I'm talking to someone, so I back into this room. I turn around, and I don't see another black face in the whole place. And I view it as one of the most important moments of my life.
Jackson says he considered running back to Boston, but he stayed, because he wanted to help future minority students not feel as alone and unsupported as he did that first day.
We started an organization called the Black Student Union. And why do I say it loud? Because it's the biggest and loudest name that we could have for 7 people.
On a campus of 12,000 students, fewer than 100 were black. So the group demanded that UNH diversify its student body and staged a sit-in to press the case. Jackson eventually ran for student body president and won.
his agenda was not geared towards the African Americans, but it was geared towards everybody.
Malik Aziz was a college friend of Jackson's and a fellow member of the Black Student Union at UNH. He says back then, Jackson was something of a celebrity on campus, and that his campaign for student body president transcended race.
If it were a room full of 2 feet tall people, Tito would fit right in, and their issues would be his issues. He didn't limit himself by his race, which is a beautiful thing. It created an energy that made him pretty much an unstoppable force to know, and somebody that you wanted to know and wanted to love and wanted to be a friend of.
Jackson tried to exploit that same political talent in 2009. In his first run for the Boston City Council, he ran for an at-large seat. Stephanie Anderson Garrett managed the campaign and says Jackson worked hard to reach voters well beyond his political base in Roxbury.
He was determined to show up in places like South Boston. You know, he time and time again was committed to showing up and connecting with every part of the city.
He lost that race, but 2 years later won the District 7 seat, representing Roxbury, parts of Dorchester, the Fenway, and the South End. Now, Tito Jackson faces his biggest political challenge yet, to convince the voters of Boston that he can represent and lead the entire city.
All of that said, Boston is the greatest city in the world, but the question is, are we great for everyone?
For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Anthony Brooks.